Don DeBrastocks, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Morning, sir. How are you doing? Good to hear you.
Not too bad. I almost thought he would listen to CBC, but knowing that you as the moderator, I know he was at the UOB. Anyhow, I want to be short this morning, and I'm looking at some three mysterious questions here, and I want you to look at them closely and let the public speak, or at least let the Democratic Labour Party have a say, because, you know, with the absence of CBC, they are knocking their heads all around. You started off earlier with a religious person, and he was denying what one religious person said. But I asked you if you could recall there was a moderator who said that God was in this election. You remember that?
Who was that? I don't remember that. Who
said that? CBC.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
She know God is going to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then I had a pastor in Green Hill who told the former prime minister
that
he would teach him how to defeat his opposition. Those are Christians, you know. Mm-hmm. All right, let me get on to my substantial point. This first mysterious one is this Ecky Becky mystery in St. John.
Like a mystery?
you get the funny, who is this Ecky Becky yet?
Are you interested?
Okay, all right.
No matter.
The reason I'm asking you that, I know you love Calypso. Hmm. You remember we had, I think he passed on, DaCosta Allenby?
Who sang
something with Endorse My Cuckoo?
Endorse My Cuckoo and put it back in the pot.
Yeah. And he was backed by an Ecky Becky band. You ever find out who was this Ecky Becky band?
Well, you know.
But there are two Ecky Beckys that are mysterious. Now, the second one, you cannot teach a person right and then come back and show you wrong. Now, I heard the consultant of the Barbados Workers Union this morning speaking about his concern of the workers and what he intended to say that the 31st of October is no longer on the board. Now, I want you to understand, I used to be a president of the same Barbados Workers Union division at the Arak Cement Plant. I was taught by the unions that we should not engage with any consultant. Any consultant should speak to management, and then management would speak to the worker. I asked a mysterious question. Is Sir Roy Trotman still the General Secretary of the Barbados Workers Union? And if he is not the General Secretary of the Barbados Workers Union, I thought he should have gone through the General Secretary as a consultant. I don't know how the principles change. I just asked that. That's a mysterious question.
All right.
Good?
Fair enough.
And the last one. Because if they're going to be short, I want to hear the DLP. I want to hear them.
No, I hear the dams.
Yeah. Now, I came along. I happened to be at the Caribbean Development Bank when the Duffus Commission was carrying on down here with the investigation on the late Earl Walton Barr. You remember that?
That's right, yeah.
I visited many days of that commission up at the Caribbean Development Bank. Now, I don't know. This country was not in a state as it is now. And the late Tom Adams felt that the mismanagement at the time of the Democratic Labour Party, including places like International Seafoods and other projects that need investigating, and he brought down a commission by the name of Duffus to investigate the Prime Minister at the time, Earl Walton Barr, that would oversee these projects. Why is it so hard that we can't put the former prime minister to investigate the happenings of this country? Because the president is asking for evidence. And if the prime minister said he is responsible, why we can't get the prime minister giving evidence of the responsibility of this state of the economy? Why?
I don't know. I really don't know. I guess if there was a commission of inquiry, the prime minister could be called and asked to give evidence, the former prime minister, and, you know, that could happen. But, you know, my view on that Commission of Inquiry thing, and, you know, I really feel that we should let the New Testament determine what we do.
But Peter F. Verley, the Peter can bring evidence on, shut up. Could dear, the Prime Minister said whatever happened, blame him. Could dear, they come and give the evidence, and set the country free. That's all I'm asking for.
The other point...
I'm not responsible for what you believe in.
I know, but the other point is that you do realize that if there's a commission of inquiry, there's no charges that can be brought.
I don't know. No, you can't.
Apparently not. No.
I don't know. You wait. What do happen yesterday can happen today. Because there's things that happen in this country that we never foresee would ever happen. We never thought in this world that one of our ministers would be in the states can't come out until the trial is completed. Never happened before. But it happened in 2018. Thank you, Peter.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. Good chatting with you, as always. Dr. Brastax, good morning and welcome.
Hey. Good morning to you.
Hey, morning, Mr. Anti-America. How are you, sir?
Are you feeling well today?
I'm great, yeah.
So the pleasantries, we got past that now, right? We can talk now.
Yeah, we can talk.
You know, okay.
You know, you're one of my favorite people to talk to, ironically, but...
Well, you know, after you talk to a person for a long time, you probably don't have much choice but to say that. I mean, he's been talking now for a good few years. So here's the thing, okay? Mm-hmm. Everything that you said at the end of your preamble, I completely disagree with.
Okay.
I do not think you should be sending people home. It is the option of very last resort.
Mm-hmm.
Very last resort. And that is not my opinion alone. I also have this, you know, other people share that opinion, including this one. Just give me 15 seconds, including this one, okay? Hold on.
Can I say that the Barbadian interest is protected when we continue to have a government spend money in a partisan manner? Can I say that a Barbadian interest has been protected when a government notionally tells you that it will take a 10% pay cut, which is the equivalent only to two ministers going home, when in truth and in fact it should be about four or five ministers and three parliamentary secretaries? When you look at the structure of the ministries, a lot of line ministers carry portfolios that don't even cause them to see 10 files a day. Labor can be attached to something else. Energy and environment can be attached to something else. We can go on. What is the role of the PARSEC? What is the role of the ministers without portfolio that exists? How can you, in all conscience, ask people and tell people you're sending them home, but maintain that level of structure, of size of cabinet?
You heard that?
I heard it. I know it. I listened. You posted it on Facebook last night several times. Yes, it was difficult not to hear.
And that's the point. Because that person is actually making sense. I like what that person has said. And I would prefer to maintain that image of that particular person, because that is a sensible person. I just spoke to you. Do you disagree?
You heard. You never
listen. Do you disagree?
Listen to me. I am going to answer you in this way. You can't bully me. You can't push me around. Listen,
no, but
I know you for long enough, and I know how you flex. Listen, this is the situation. I remember hearing Don Blackman say an infamous statement in the Back IV in 1986. He says, "I thought then, as I do now, that at that time, that was a good idea. However, with the benefit of hindsight, I am now convinced that I was wrong." That's all that happens. Listen, at a point in time, a politician may sincerely believe one thing. The conditions will change, and the politician will sincerely believe another thing. I can tell you, if Prime Minister Motley had gone ahead and had a small cabinet after the election on the 24th of May, you could rest assured that her government would already be in problems. There is an important political reason for the size of the cabinet. I know that you don't really care about it, but I have said before that there are two things that she has to do here. One is she has to pursue an economic project. The other thing is that she has to guard a political project. And if you don't preserve the political project, the economic project will never work. And the case in point would be Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford. Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford successfully pursued an economic project. The political project fell apart, and he found himself being removed from Parliament. Prime Minister Motley is ensuring that she does not have those challenges. And that's the reason why you have a cabinet of 20. Don't mind all of 27. Don't mind all of what is being said to the contrary. I am telling you, sir, that in my professional opinion, that is the reason why it is being done.
She is doing it to preserve her.
So if it is that you are saying that it is unnecessary, and I appreciate all of what she said before, but the circumstances were different.
Because of a design a design.
For design.
The way this operate this government thing.
But you gave her the 30 sure seats. You gave her sure the 30
oh
seats.
Oh, God, man. You can't shut up.
No, I can't sure because you can't either. You gave her 30 seats. What is she to do? That is the hand that she has been dealt.
Deal with the situation where you know you're going to cut people's jobs and lead by example. And if somebody want to challenge you and say, but you ain't give me the job as a minister, I can vote against you and make sure you're the minister no more, well, they will have to be exposed in public for being the hypocrites that they are. Yeah. Do as you say. Lead by example. What is wrong with that?
The hypocrisy, it's sorry for a cabinet too.
It goes beyond, hush up now. It goes beyond that. It goes to hell a lot more beyond that. You have other costs in government that need to be pursued first. Before you send somebody home, you got to make sure you have decided that every presentation of the other costs as well, unless you have a problem with that.
No, but it don't sound like you want to really deal with defense.
And the lack of cost effectiveness is, of course, a problem. And they have, of course. That's quite true. Okay. All right?
And we can agree.
If that is part of the fabric of the process, you know I can take a serious effort, and so a genuine effort to change. But you've got two political parties that have fashioned themselves off of that particular campaign for years, and that ain't going to happen just like so. But here's another course that can be sought after. Now, the Attorney General only deals with central government. But at least in the central government, you can go to the estimates and determine where the costs that could be addressed and not. And one of those ones that stand out, I mean, big, big. The government of Barbados pays $68 to $72 million in rent every year. Every year. A lot of agencies pay rent too. They got some agencies that pay $700 a year. Others pay $14,000, $10,000, $6,000. All numbers. But you figure because they want to rent a tent for some kind of event or might rent a house for a week or whatever. But when it comes to the Ministry of Housing and the particular part that has responsibility for building maintenance and real estate concerns, Ministry of Housing, which is under another lawyer, by the way, right now. $68 to $72 million a year to some landlords with taxpayers' money. Now, the argument is, and it has to be maintained, that if you're going to be paying private landlords, you can't be sending home people. You got all these buildings about the place, all these buildings all over the different industrial parks that could use a little refurbishing. A nice fancy building down there that used to be the Ministry of Economic Affairs that has now been abandoned, there's no gold stone that it could be used. But you can pay $68 million to $72 million a year. And the government changed about four times and it's still happening. And you can look at me and tell me that, yes, there are no other alternatives but sending home people. It gets even worse. It gets even worse. Because the Attorney General only fashions his comments, his statements on central government. But he don't have one clue as to what takes place in the statutory corporations. All he knows is, like, okay, we got transfers. And Maskell, always talking about transfers are the problem. Let me cut staff in the statutory corporations. He don't have one clue what those transfers involve as well, because I can tell you if somebody could just, because apparently the people who do the audits in the statutory agencies are private people, they're private people, and I don't know why it can't be Auditor General as well. But if a study was done to find out how much money is paid in professional fees in those statutory corporations, pages would vomit.
They must vomit Sunday when
because
they see them legal
is
fees.
A lot of people get involved with political
they vomit Sunday when they see them legal fees.
And that money is made because there are always options, always opportunities for them to get fees out of taxpayers.
Right.
And they need to know what those fees are.
But they publish fees in the paper Sunday and they see people enough must vomit.
In few occasions that it is done, but the reality is that if they were stopped completely, you would have to send home no damn public servants. If I had to deal with land, these lawyers in particular, when it comes to dealing with contracts and stuff, contracts make big money for, not contracts, they talk about land, you know, the contracts involved, conveyances, make big money for lawyers. One was like charging the government $5 million for doing 10 hours work. $5 million. And he could get away with that there. If you had an agency in government, the government already employs 120 somebody lawyers anyhow. Enough lawyers, and I don't even know what the hell they do, to be honest with you. Even the Attorney General,
they advise the other lawyers.
Yeah, right. But their lawyers, when done, they could easily have been trained.
That's what they do. They advise the lawyers that government apply what they need to do. Anyhow, sir, we got how to wrap up. So you have the last word.
Because all you need to have is an agency with a couple of lawyers employed by taxpayers to to handle all these conveyances. You don't have to go outside the government. We can save the government and taxpayers and profits millions of dollars and by extension, save jobs as well. Now, if you want to come with your preamble again and argue with me on that ground,
I can... No, no problem with that. I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
No. Let me take the first course first before you decide to tell people no more Christmas for you.
Let me teeth in.
Put the teeth in. Well, the teeth in will come next week. Whenever. All right? That is the point. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling, sir. Always good to chat with you. I'm sorry that we had to run off. We take a break and come right back. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Very interesting and passionate conversation with Mr. Anti-America, as is often almost always the case. And it's something I look forward to. Good morning and welcome. Morning and welcome. You're on the air. 434-1790. Let's have a conversation. Go right ahead. Okay, well, let's try another call. We have quite a few of them here waiting, so let's see. 434-1790, good morning.
Good morning to you, Mr. Wickham.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good. What about yourself?
Well, it's Patrick. How is it?
Of course.
Good to hear you.
Peter, I want to discuss three different topics with you, but before I go there, I want to tell anti-American, right, that Barbados can't deal with a 14-1 exchange and a 20-1 and a 30-1. So if a sacrifice has to be made, and we have decided, the government has decided the method of the sacrifice. All that he's saying, to some extent, with the rentals, I support. But the bottom line is that he can't dictate for the government of Barbados which one to deal with first. That's the bottom line, right? So all the talk we're running with these bonds and we don't want this. I mean, I'm insensitive, Peter, to the things that are happening to the people who suffer for the follow and decisions that have been made. The point I am making, though, is that you can decide if you want 20-1 in the exchange or if you want the sacrifice. Yeah. That's the bottom line. There's two choices before me, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but we ramping around and keep a lot of noise in this country. We cannot deal with a 20-1 or a 14-1 exchange in dollar. So we can start keeping noise
you
check, that we can make the sacrifice.
Patrick, that's you checked the exchange rate in Jamaica now? 137 to 1.
It was 131 or 132.
Right. It's not 137. Pushing hard for 140.
Good. So Barbados can decide if they want the 20-1, the 30-1, or the 40-1, or they want to sacrifice. The ball in the court. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is that the Prime Minister has not brought us to this junction. You know what I'm saying? She intends to fix the problem, but she didn't create the problem. Right? So, I mean, and they're not being insensitive, but I must say that. The next thing I want to do with Peter, I think, right? And the world know this. Peter, because of my circumstances when I was young, became a ward of the state. So the state spent some money for me, so to speak, right? I believe, Peter, that I got a right. I have a right and a duty, right, to inform the ignorance of my people whenever I have the opportunity, simply because I am not, I have no intention of allowing the Dems to get away with a lot of foolishness that they come in on this, to people in this country with. Now, I read the article by leader of the UPP, Leonard Eastman, in the e-paper, the digital newspaper of Barbados today, where it says UPP mills over the legal challenge to the GST tax, which is the sewage and the garbage and sewage tax. Now, the reason why I said I told you that, Peter, is because I want to educate Barbarians to something this morning, and they must not fall prey. If you owe any money in water rates, stop allowing people to mislead you with foolishness and talking about taking up the court time. Stop it. Now, Peter, the Provisional Collection of Taxes Act, Cap 85, right? I can read for you what it was. This act came into operation on the 30th of June, 1967. Right? Good. I can tell you what the short title of the Act, right? The short title says that the Act may be cited as the Provisional Collection of Taxes Act, and its interpretation is for the purpose of this Act. The expression budgetary proposals mean any proposal made to the House Assembly by or on the behalf of the Minister responsible for finance for the purpose of raising revenue to meet public expenditure. There's the laws of Barbados, you know, Peter. There's the laws of Barbados. Because I don't know the is going with this. Section 3, Peter, Section 3. I want you to listen to me carefully. Section 3, it says, right, an increase in the rate of any existing tax. I've got three subjects. Let me get it subtitled first. Taxes to be effective subject to this act where the imposition of a tax or an increase in the tax of an existing tax. It is contained in any budget proposals then from the date specified by the minister, which is the finance minister, in such budgetary proposals hereafter in this act referred to as the specified date. The imposition of such taxes shall, in law, Peter, you did the 11 law, shall means that there is no compromise. It shall, right? It is not said, it is a mere discretion can be exercised. It said that the imposition of such tax shall be as effective as in an enactment had been made or passed imposing such taxes, and the tax shall be payable as from the specified date. When the Minister of Finance visited the Prime Minister on the 7th of June, stood on the floor of Parliament and introduced this new tax, right? It automatically became law under this same act, right? Now, Peter, Leonard Eastman is making the point that the Barrister's War Authority has been made to be a government tax collector outside of the purview of the Barbados Revenue Authority. And I can show how misleading these statements can be. Now, customs and excise, to the best of my knowledge, information, and belief, Peter, has not been under the umbrella of the Barbados Revenue Authority. But customs and excise collect taxes. The cashiers at customs and excise are the ones who work directly with the Barbados Revenue Authority. But the imposition of the taxes coming through the Bridgetown Port, right, which is government's largest revenue collection agency, the imposition of those taxes are made by customs and excise. I don't know where Ms. Eastman is going with this foolishness. I don't know if she can intend to raise the court with almost 33,000 cases we got backlogged, why she would try to take poor John Brown, who has a water bill of $150, and is now will have to pay legal fees to get any legal direction from any lawyer down Bridgetown. You understand? Pay a legal fee of $175 to fix up to dispute a water bill.
Patrick, you know why that's happening? You know why that's happening? When there was the municipal solid waste tax, right, which presumably was also announced under similar provisional collection of taxes legislation, mm-hmm, facility.
Right.
A lot of people never paid it. And a lot of people never paid it because it was on sound legal basis on which, I don't know if you paid yours, but a lot of people never paid theirs. Now, I am assuming that what the UPP may very well be saying, well, if you could decide to not pay that, then not pay this one as well.
No,
the challenge is that the only way of resolving the municipal solid waste tax would be to take somebody's land, and that would require special legislative efforts. While the water is a different story, and the reason that I have always liked the water tax is one that is manageable. It's something that I could find on a month-to-month basis, and they can kill me like that solid waste, municipal solid waste tax, all once in a year. And the other point is that it is enforceable, because if you don't pay, let's turn off your water. There will be situations of people who genuinely cannot afford to pay. But if you can go and you can pay the water bill and you leave that out, it's worthlessness. So if you could afford to pay the water bill, you could probably afford to pay the whole thing. Now, if you can't afford to pay none of the two, you go to the welfare department and let's come to some arrangement whereby you can be given the assistance that you deserve. But if a person has the money to pay and deliberately says, I am not paying that part because I'm opposing to paying tax, they ought to lock off the water.
But I won't close off this chapter.
You understand which God is serving?
But the Section 2 of the Act says that any tax or increase in the rate of an existing tax which becomes payable pursuant to subsection 1 shall cease to be so payable if the appropriate enactment of the imposition of the tax for increasement of the rate of the existing tax is not being passed within the 4 months. So in other words, if the Prime Minister made the announcement, she has to come back to Parliament and make the enactment to make it law. But automatically from the time she speaks to the raising of taxes on the floor of Parliament, it is automatic law, but it becomes in the official gazette when it is. So that's the point I want to make, and enough of that. So I don't know who Ms. Eastman is trying to mislead in this country and about occupying the court time. Who going to want to bill for 150 and can pay somebody downtown 175 for consultation fees? They are free to do so. I'm saying to you, to Barbados, that all they're doing is wasting the time if they take this route. That's the bottom line. The next point I want to make, Peter, anti-American again. Now, Mr. Mears, Geisler Mears, record again at today's back page of today's Daily Nation, right? He's predicting that there's gonna be a short term for the Mayor-Motley-led administration. Can't get past 3 years. No problem, Mr. Mears. I ain't got an issue with what you're saying, but I want to find out from you and the newly appointed president this morning, right? Who you're gonna present to the people of this country as any alternative to the crowd that just get voted of office? Who are you going to bring? Because you can't bring back the same crowd. And the new faces that you're going to bring, the people of this country ain't taking a chance with new faces, because we do that with David Thompson and we crash. So I need them to tell me this morning, who are they, will they present as new faces to the people of this country? Because you can't bring back the old crop. Not them. You can't bring them. So 3 years, if you're looking for election in 3 years, tell me who you're bringing, Mr. Mayor. That's all I'm asking you.
You feel he's going to be one of the people that coming? Huh? He's going to be one of the people that coming?
I can't help you. But I know that I will not encourage Barbados to run the risk as they did when David Thompson was the only person who had a ministerial portfolio in the last administration. And when he died, this is what brought us to this sorry state. And I would hope that Barbados would have learned from their mistakes. So I don't know what the collapse he's expecting a government in three years. Now, there's also, Peter, widely in circulation on all social media platforms, a lot of alternative facts and fake news driven by the engines of some political naysayers, right, going around in this country. So they are trying to push the Prime Minister in the corner by asking her to take a salary cut and also trim her cabinet. Peter, that's fine. That's fine, no problem. I want to ask the newly appointed president this morning, though, if she intends to take also a 10%, not only on gratuity, but also on their pensions. Also on the pension, former parliamentarians and parliamentary secretaries and those who was in the Senate for 10 years, if you're pushing the notion that the Honourable Prime Minister should be calling on her ministers to take a 10% cut, I want to know, those who are now having lofty pensions in this country, former parliamentarians, tell me if you can coerce those that for whom went after you or went that just being voted out of office, if you can get them to decide that they will also accept 10% as well. Don't focus only on Motley. Focus on the crowd that just, the people just get rid of that, getting lofty pensions too. You understand?
Yeah,
and then we can have a discussion. The last thing Peter Ward discussed with is the contract probe. Because, you know, this whole thing will bring the evidence. What's fascinating to me with the Dems, right, is that they can find all the time to put all types of things on social media. And bring, anti-American now can rehash a video that went in the past. Since you're going in the past, anti-America, I'm happy that you're going in the past, because I'm happy to go there with you too, right? The minister responsible for energy and water resources, the Honorable Fred Abram, has been recording the Nation News under the heading Contract Probe. I don't know if you saw the article. You seen the article?
I saw the article, yeah.
You saw the article. Mm-hmm. Where in February 16, the Barbados Water Authority find the time.
Mm-hmm.
Under the former Minister responsible for Agriculture, Dr. David Espick, to send an email to Dr. Atlee Baffert, the former chairperson, $99.50. None of them, and a company form in 6 months, was able to get a contract for $5,288,025.34. I want the Dems to put this on social media. That little Joe Blow that won't make a decision in next election. Can see that too, ne? Don't only send me a Motley when telling about retrenchment. Send me them things. Telling about the... It was being called by the Honorable Minister for Industry. Social media too, Peter? Yeah. It is only fair that we go into the past.
We go in the past, right.
We
can't go selectively. We got to go down right through.
If you grinding the past, let me go in the past. In the past, we were told that there was free education will remain, territory education will remain free. Mm-hmm. Tell Barbados that successfully so, the Prime Minister of Barbados has now have the ordinary citizen in the country can join the university in the West Indies. That happened in the past, though. The ladder get kicked down in the past. But don't go hand-pick and cherry-pick with the world.
Right,
I think you're saying it wrong for social media to confuse people. Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks. We have you here to clarify things for us where we would otherwise be confused. Thanks a lot for calling, Patrick. It was good chatting with you. We take another call and say good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham.
Morning, sir.
How are you today?
I'm great.
Well, I have one or two things, but first of all, anti-American. I mean, you are the host of the program. Mm-hmm. And I don't like when he's telling you shut up and so being disrespectful.
Now,
if that was me now, I would have cut him off the ear.
Well, I can't cut nobody, Dennis, so God cut him. I can't.
Right, because I find it to be very disrespectful.
But don't worry about it.
That anti-American talking foolishness.
Anti-American, I have a rapport. So.
But it's very disrespectful.
I don't take objection to Mr. Anti-America because I don't take him as seriously as many of you.
Well, all right then. But I don't take him serious neither.
He doesn't ruffle my feathers. Don't worry.
When the day come talking foolishness all the time. Now, I want to ask a question. You, Gaison Mears, what job he have? He have a job in the government of Barbados?
He's an attorney at law.
He's an attorney at law, mm-hmm. but he represents something or the other, and he's paid from...
He was a police service commission, but that's not an executive post.
So, but he's being paid from the purse of the government anyway?
At this point in time, I don't think so. If he's chairman of the Police Services Commission still, he would receive, I guess, a small stipend. But he wouldn't receive a salary as such from the government because he's an attorney at law in a private capacity.
Oh, in a private capacity because I was that they had to give up their job and lose, et cetera. What I'm calling about, though, today is on rural development, and I'm very disappointed with, to a certain extent, from the former general secretary, Mr. Trotman, about the last thing. Rural Development Commission was set up and around the year 1996, 97. I happened to be one of the first officers. When it started and the study was carried out to set up Rural Development Commission, it was to accommodate about 12 to 15 members of staff. At that time when we started in a place called Porters and St. James. There were 12 of us. Rural development wasn't set up to accommodate staff of over 50. But after the election of 2008, the government of the day, they brought in a number of staff and had them doing things that in my days, one officer used to do. But they start giving like public relation and special CEO and all of that. And one person used to do all of that job. And the union rep at rural development now, he know of these things. It is said that this is nothing new. When you are saying last in, first to go, that was touted around in 2013-14. He know of that. So to cause confusion now because the government say, well, look, we got to let go about 20 to bring it back. Down to about 30 persons on staff, you understand? So that you won't have what has happened previously on the government, people walking through Bridgestone when the day coming, supposed to be working at rural development, have nothing to do. So you have to find work in the days. The salaries we used to help old people, we used to give business persons. So the staff was small and we could accommodate those things. No sense they came to power, all of that cut. And I am agreement and I'm supporting the acting chairman. I am supporting the present chairman and so on like that. Get on with what you have to do. Don't allow any person to confuse the issues. Some people are saying, send home the old workers. But those persons there, that they may come and say, is either bordering 60, 61, 62. They are experienced. Those are the ones that was there from 1996, 97. I used to be working there. Mr. And I could tell you about the work that we did. I only left Rural Development Commission because I had to get sent on a posting overseas. That is what, if not all, like now, I will still be there. So I support, and up to now, I don't know if you get his money. Those are things that they are to look at and stop confusing the issue. And I support of them, the 20 of them going home. Thank you, Mr. Wickham.
Okay, sir. Thank you for calling. We take a few messages and come right back.